Welcome to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I'm your host, Helen Panos. I run a tutoring company for K through 12 students who need help with reading, math, writing, study skills, ACT, SAT, prep, and more. My tutors work both virtually and in person. We specialize in really getting to know your kids and helping them thrive. I was a teacher and leader in a Georgia school system for 25 years. I saw what worked and what didn't. And there are definitely some gaps that teachers can't touch, which is why our tutors are so important. Teachers can only do so much. I'm here to bridge that gap between parents and teachers, to help your kids become successful in school and beyond. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I'm your host, Helen Panos, and today I have another guest for you. Her name is Carrie Bonnet. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Hello.
How's everything? From Oregon, right?
I live in Oregon, far away awesome. from where you are. That's far.
That's terrific, but I really wanted to bring Carrie on today and share what she does for a living, because I've been encountering a lot of executive functioning and, you know, things with ADHD, and along with that comes the EF. We call it EF for short, executive functioning. And so definitely Carrie is a veteran teacher and lifelong list maker. She's an executive functioning coach based in Bend, Oregon, where she lives with her husband, two children. Carrie works with students and families all over the world. Her no shame approach and the strategies she teaches, which are empower students to thrive in life and in school, help parents and teachers to better support their children, and help adults get on top of all that life requires, right? So in addition to coaching, she's also an adjunct instructor for early career teachers at the University of Portland in Oregon. That's cool.
Yeah, that's very nice. I love working with those early teachers. That's a really fun part of my job.
Yeah, that's terrific. I mean, a lot of teachers are not getting much knowledge from school systems, let's say, these days about EF. So tell us a little bit about your journey to what got you to where you are today.
Sure. So I come at this coaching thing from the teacher side. I was a classroom teacher for 14 years. I taught middle and high school humanities, English, social studies. And I like to say that I was teaching executive function before I even really knew what it was. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But in my teacher training, it didn't exist. I didn't even know this term until probably 6 years ago. But in my classrooms, this comes as a strength for me, this area of executive function, which is organization and planning and time management and things like this. So I was kind of teaching it to my students, even though I didn't know what it was. And then, in 2018, a good friend of mine is a school psychologist here, and she and I were just talking about what might be next for me, what students need, what families need. And she said, you know what I think you should do? I think you should be an executive function coach. And at that point, I still didn't know the term. I said, what's that? But it got me thinking. And so a couple of years later, I started this coaching practice. So I did some training and a lot of learning and reflecting on my time as a teacher in the classroom and working with early career teachers too. Anyway, in 2020, I decided to start this coaching practice. And let me tell you, Helen, the need is great.
Yes, it is. I agree with you 100%.
Right. So I work with, I work one-on-one with students and families. I do some parent coaching. I do teacher training and presentations. So I am just all about trying to spread the word about this thing called executive function, which we'll get into more in just a minute. But that's what my passion is, letting everybody know this is a real thing. And here are some ways to work on it.
Yeah, definitely a real thing. And unfortunately, I think it's growing, like you said, very much big need. So what in the world is executive functioning? Let's start with the basics.
Yeah, that's a great plan. So the simple definition that I like to give people is that they're brain skills. So executive function skills, sometimes you'll hear them referred to as executive skills, but I'm not a huge fan of the term. I wish we had something else to call them, but the neuroscientists decided, so I didn't get to decide. But I think it comes from the word execute, right? Like they are the skills that help us execute tasks. So in other words, these are skills that help us get our stuff done. So that's sort of the simple definition.
Like organization, right? For instance. Yeah.
So like I mentioned, time management comes up a lot when parents first come to see me. Organization comes up a lot. Planning. Oh gosh, we were running to Target at the very 11th hour to get the poster board for the thing that they need to turn in tomorrow. So sort of planning and prioritizing and but also things like getting started on a task. Task initiation is another executive function skill. You can start to see how they're all connected, like task initiation.
And extremely terrific skills that everybody needs, right?
Right.
And that, right. To function.
Yeah, right. Maybe that's what it is. Execute and function. Yes. We have to execute the task in order to function. But you're right, though. It's not just school skills. I mean, these are life skills. You and I have to use our executive function skills all the time. Parents
do. Exactly. Right. When we're recording this, it's October, right? And already I'm thinking first quarter 2024, what am I doing in 2024? So you got to think well in advance, right? And kids right. need that because they have projects, and now a lot of them are taking these AP classes that are very difficult and very dense and reading and like an AP Gov. I was thinking about that the other day because we have an AP Gov that we need to help. And he's made the comment to my tutor how dense that information is and that reading.
Yeah.
And then you probably want to procrastinate about it anyway, because it's so dense and boring.
Right. I mean, that's the stuff I care about, right? Is the boring stuff. I mean, I guess I also care about the things that my clients care about, but the exciting things are less hard to get started on. And it's mostly the boring things or the things that are not interesting, like non-preferred tasks. That's where the real challenge comes. If your student, that AP Gov student, was super excited about government and civics, and then maybe it wouldn't be such a challenge. Mm-hmm. But because it's dense, because it's boring, you can't just sit down for hours and read that stuff and digest it. So it's the non-preferred tasks that that I help with.
Cool. And what can, how can a parent be able to tell if their child is struggling with EF?
Well, I think I mentioned parents come to me often with questions about time management. Oh my gosh, we just sat there for an hour and nothing got accomplished. Mm-hmm. Or if it's an older student and they're not getting to their job on time, or they can't get to school on time. So time management comes up a lot. The organization piece comes up a lot. Like the backpack is a mess. The bedroom is a mess. The car is a mess. They can't keep track of their stuff. They're losing important things. Maybe you mentioned ADHD. Some of my clients, many have some sort of learning difference like ADHD or autism or other things, but not all, but many. And so there's distractions, right? Like super easily distracted, hard. It's like torture to concentrate or to get started. And sometimes parents come to me and they sort of feel like the child's being willful. Like they're just on their phone because they want to, and they don't want to do the other thing, which, I mean, I suppose is true, but a lot of these things are skill rather than will.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like these are skills that they don't have. One of them is impulse control. Speaking of the phones that kids have today.
Yeah.
Being able to not be on your phone when you need to be doing something important. So impulse control is another one. So parents come to me mostly with those sorts of things, losing things, can't keep track of their stuff, easily distracted, lots of missing assignments.
Or doing them and not handing them in.
Yes, that happens all the time. And the kids will swear to me up and down, I turned it in. And then, of course, we can look online now to see if it's been turned in.
Right,
and
exactly.
It hasn't. But here's the thing about that, Helen, is that in order to turn in on an iPad or a laptop or whatever system the kids are using these days, the older kids, there are a whole lot of steps in order to turn the thing in. They have to touch here, and then go find it here, and then attach it here. And remember to push the submit button.
Right.
Right? I mean, it seems like to someone who does not have challenges in this area, and by the way, I like to blame this stuff on the brain. Like, they just have a brain that is challenged in this area. So to people whose brain is not challenged in this area, it seems silly, or how could they not?
Right.
But there's a lot of steps.
A special message from Dynamis Learning Academy. We met Michael's mom this week, and she complained that Michael has been having trouble for about 4 years in school. No matter what she did, she couldn't help him, and it didn't work. In fact, it would backfire, and they would fight. At Dynamis Learning Academy, we do not advocate that parents try to bridge the gap between what they learn at school and what the children should be learning. We do that instead by providing a specific tutor for your child's individual needs. Don't wait until your child is so far behind that it's impossible for them to recover. Reach out to Dynamis Learning Academy today to learn more about our customized tutoring solutions. We can be reached at 770-282-9931. Thank you.
There's a one of the bigger programs for grades here is Infinite Campus, and we call it IC for short. And I remember when we first went to that, and I was the 504 chair at the school, and I'd sit in on all these meetings. I don't care what grade level they are, smart, intelligent, gifted kids versus it doesn't matter. They would not hit the submit button. They would just skip it. I mean, I've done that too once or twice when I'm like signing up for a networking event, and I'm like, because then they'll hide it and you think you've already done it. But now they've started to give these warnings like, you're not done yet. Make sure you hit
good
button or something, right?
Because
your screen may not show it all and you got to scroll down to see it. It's almost like the here and now. And this generation is there too. Like, okay, it's not right in front of me. Then that must be it. I'm done. I mean, I'm having an issue with a particular teacher right now who can't seem to get the QuickBooks thing done for me so I could pay her. And I'm going, I know I did it. And I'm thinking, did you hit the submit button? I said to her last night, finally, I go, are you sure you hit whatever button they're saying to hit? Because that's happened to me before, even with the podcast collaborative. I'm like, I thought I signed up. And then you got to scroll down further and there's a couple more questions. You don't see them.
Yeah, exactly. So it's hard. It's tricky. And kids are not, like, kids would do better if they could, right? Like, they are not deliberately not hitting the submit button. It is not willful. Like, they want to turn the thing in, especially in this situation. They planned to turn the thing in.
They did it.
Right. They did the assignment. They planned to turn it in. It's not willful in this case, right? Their brain is just not ready or doesn't have the reminders, or like you said, in your face is important for a lot of things. But they're not trying to not turn their homework in. Right.
Right. And I think this fast paced environment we live in today with them having a lot of things do, and then they're involved in sports, and I mean, their head must be spinning.
Right. And especially
it becomes very important to be very organized and have a calendar. And I'm about to ask you what strategies they should try right away if they see something like this.
I mean, you hit one right on the head, which is out of sight, out of mind, right? So the way I like to describe this is like, there's so many things that are invisible to people, children, kids, students, that we have to figure out ways to keep things in your face. So to make the invisible visible whenever possible. So that could be, you mentioned a calendar. I love a calendar. It could be just time, like keeping time in your face. Like I like a clock. I like an analog clock instead of a digital clock, because you can see the passing of time. But keeping things in your face will be a key to
being successful. I love stickies.
Yep. I got some too. But yeah, anything possible. And like, if we're talking to parents, it might be expectations for after school or something. Like my kids play piano, so they have to practice, they have to unload their backpack. They have to practice piano. They have to, I can't remember off the top of my head. But we have them, there's a list of them so that nobody has to think about it every day. It's just there. Those are the things that they have to do after school. But teachers too, like assignments are often invisible. The agenda for the day, sometimes teachers don't post that.
Yeah.
Anything possible to make it easy on the kids.
How about using a phone to take pictures of things off the board? Or, you know, let's say your teacher's not putting it on Google, whatever, Classroom, or whatever they're using, and they put it on the board. And this day and time, I wouldn't think so, but maybe they do. And I used to say to kids back in the day before all this technology came up, take a picture of the board.
Yeah.
And then look at it right before you're packing to go home so you know what your homework is. Like scroll through. And I will do this actually, Carrie. If I'm out and about and somebody's told me something, or I'm getting a text message about something, and I'm like, I'm never going to remember to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, that's now I keep a little notepad in my car because of that. And I'm in the car a lot, or so I could jot it down there. Or now I just get on my phone. I'm at a sponsorship at a school and I'll get on the phone and I'll send myself an email and go call so-and-so, or this person needs rates, or because they're just telling it to me.
Yeah.
And I have no, and I'll say, give me your email so I can go ahead and write myself a note right here. And it's, I know my email is like my go-to, and so is my text.
Right. Myself. You will always be looking at your email. So those are strategies, Helen, that you're using, right? The notepad in the car, the emailing yourself, the taking a photo of the board. I will say, you know, you mentioned that like many teachers maybe don't write it on the board anymore, but gosh, I wish they did. When I taught most recently, I was teaching, it was government. We were talking about government a lot today. But I was teaching government, and a student would walk in every single day and take her iPad and take a picture of my, it was just the agenda, like pretty typical stuff. Like we would do a journal topic first, and then maybe there was a mini lecture on the, whatever the topic. And then here was the reading and here was the homework. That was kind of it. It wasn't like anything super exciting. But man, that was a smart strategy to use. Walk in every day, take a picture of the thing. But if it's not there, then students can't do that. So keeping stuff in your face and like
is key.
Your email strategy is keeping stuff in your face so that you don't forget. Cause also, another executive function is working memory. So like keeping track, keeping things front of mind, and so that's a strategy for that too. So just kind of making things more visible.
And there is a lot of links and a lot of this and that. It's a lot more to remember. I mean, I will agree. Things have changed over the years since I've been teaching, for sure. Before it was just, hey, just have your agenda or planner or passport. They all call them different things right there. And you need, a lot of kids would forget to write things down. So now there's no excuse because they can go into that teacher's portal and see stuff.
Right.
So definitely urging parents to get your kids, keep pushing them back to the portal. Keep pushing them back to the portal. I still think there's a lot to be said about paper head to the pencil, from board to the head to the pencil. Writing things down helps you to also remember it.
For sure. So, and that's a strategy that I encourage too, the portal's great, but it's not perfect.
Right. So,
and the other thing that's pretty critical in terms of like writing things down, you know, a lot of people will come to me like saying, well, you know, people say just write a list, which is true, but there's more to it than that. It cannot be a list of 25 things. It has to be something that is achievable, that your brain thinks you can do it. So I love taking the portal and then writing down two or three things that you're going to work on for the next hour to keep that in your face. But you can't, your brain, it feels overwhelming if there's 25 things on a list.
Yeah. And that's a good thing that's why I still use a planner where I write stuff down. So tell, I know our time's about up. So tell us how parents can reach you.
Yes. Well, thank you. I have a website. My name's Carrie Bonnet. So it's just carriebonnett.com, CARRIEBONNETT.com. That's where you can learn more about the work that I do. But I also have a free resource for parents that I call my blueprint to help your school-age child get things done without constant reminders. And that is at carriebonnett.com/blueprint.
And we'll have that all in the podcast notes so people can click on it. Yeah.
And then with that, I have an email list. So I send out weekly email with tips and strategies and tools and resources, sometimes silly things just for fun. But I have a community there. So I would love to see some of your listeners there too.
And how do people sign up for that?
Either through the blueprint or on my website, there's a subscribe button.
Okay. I gotcha. Yep. Yeah. Well, terrific. I am so glad we got to meet and have this interview. This is a very important topic. So I appreciate your time today.
And you're welcome. I love sharing. Talking about it.
I know. And I see you have a YouTube channel. So you have
that too.
Videos
I have
there.
Some videos. Yeah.
Great. So that'll be also included in the podcast notes, parents. So you can click on all of that. Yeah. So thank you very much, Carrie, for your time today. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Glad to be with you.
And everyone, have a great rest of your day. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I hope this episode has been insightful and inspirational. Wherever you're listening, be sure to go ahead and subscribe to get the next episodes and to join our email list by going to www.dynamislearningacademy.com/podcast/. Also, it would warm my heart if you reviewed the podcast on Spotify and shared it with your community. And remember, I believe that every child would benefit from getting extra support outside the classroom, whether they are struggling or are part of an advanced or gifted program, because teachers just can't do it all. Please connect with me about our K-12 tutoring, SAT or ACT prep classes, and writing workshops to help your child excel in school. I can be reached through email at helen@dynamislearningacademy.com or by phone at 770-282-9931. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.